Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Godel Pod. My name is Laura Ainscow. I'm part of the service delivery team at Godel. So today is quite a special day as this is our first videoed podcast. And I wanted to do it with two very special guests that I know I've tried to get on for a few months now. I'm here at re.co.uk, who I work very closely with. So we've got Tom, Director of Technology here, and we've got Josh, Senior Delivery Manager. So yeah, don't let me talk, let me have a quick intro round for you guys. We'll start off with Josh and who you are and what you're about.
Yeah, so I'm Josh Frank. I'm a Senior Delivery Manager here at re.co.uk. I've been with the business now for 2 years, in January actually. My key roles at the business here is to deliver the performance proposition initiative and the job content management initiative, as well as being the account manager for the Godel partnership.
So Thomas Sampson, I'm Director of Technology at Reed. I've been here since June 2019, so 4.5 years now. It's flown by, and my main responsibilities are for the product design and engineering teams. When I see me working with yourselves and with the delivery teams in that relationship, just making sure that we're delivering the right things for our customers and our end users.
Brilliant. Great introductions, guys. I know, obviously, we know what re.co.uk do, but I suppose for our listeners, I don't know if one of you can just do an introduction of, what you guys are about, really.
Yeah, so we're a job platform for users to find content that is really engaging for them and to find roles and opportunities, or whether that be career advice or courses that help them to advance their career. So we look to improve lives through work. And that means for our work, we look to improve others users' lives through work. That comes from candidates who are looking for jobs, and from customers who are trying to find candidates for those roles.
Yeah. And how long have you guys been going?
So Reed as a business has been running since 1960.
Yeah.
James Reed's father, Alec Reed, he created the recruitment agency part of the business, which was where you can go into the shops and you can post roles, or users can go in and look at the boards, very much in that traditional style. Reed.co.uk has been running since the mid-90s, 1995.
Yeah.
Our DevOps and head of architecture, Alex Silk, he came up with the idea of putting Reed on a website and bringing that to the business. And so since then, that's been one of the foremost recruitment websites in the country.
Yeah. And your branding is all over the UK at the moment, isn't it? I see you everywhere I go.
It is. I mean, our branding is behind us. There's been a large push on external and media over the last year and a half to get more visibility to users.
Yeah.
Yeah. Started doing TV ads again. So you'll see those now, some of the videos on demand and some of the cinemas, we've got some advertising spots for those. On some of the radios as well, so you'll hear the tune. And
that song is catchy. Yeah. I'm sure you sing it every Monday.
Yes,
it is. Yeah. We all have to come in and just sing it together.
Yeah.
I hope that does happen.
So, yeah, and on buses as well, obviously.
Yeah.
Around London, you see, and some of the taxis as well, I've got the rebranding. So yeah, a real push for the brand.
Yeah, no. You're on. I feel like whenever I come into Euston from Manchester, there's a huge sign when you go down to the underground. So never forget you guys. Love it. It would be really good. Obviously, I know we've been working together now for about 6 years as a partnership. I suppose a good question for you guys would be how that came about and kind of why you needed that third party partnership.
I think it's a fairly typical story. Yeah. We were, a business that was looking to have really high ambitions and go through a period of growth. And so there were a number of partners that we reached out to work with on development. And ultimately, it's that cost effective solution to bring it a number of heads and to help us to reach our ambitions with our initiatives and our strategic goals. For me, I think having come into Reed.co.uk when we had 3 partners, I think it's very clear how committed Godel were to the relationship. And, they've been the one that's been the consistent partner throughout that. So it's just a typical need to bring users in.
Yeah.
Probably the journey's evolved since that point, though, where we're bringing in other expertise and other users.
Yeah.
Where it was an engineering support. Initially, we now have product managers, we have DevOps engineers, we have QA, we have architects that are supporting us. It's really becoming a partnership rather than just a support basis.
Yeah, and when we began first, I think it was actually Alex, that wasn't it, in DevOps space, that's correct, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that was kind of the starting point. And then we've just developed into your different streams within the business.
Yeah, and I think it's grown significantly as well. So, you know, since we've been working together over the past few years, the partnership has nearly doubled in size, really. And that's down to obviously the great resources and capacity that you guys have been providing us, and the growth in the projects and initiatives that we wanted to build out as well, and having that expertise from you guys, and then offering wider roles, as Tom mentioned, now dipping into having some of the product managers on board and some other roles that are kind of to do with testing, so like SVET and front end, back end. So I've really got that whole, I guess, across the business from Godot. It's not just one particular role, there's multiple roles that you guys can provide. So hence why I think it's been an ongoing partnership and will obviously continue going forward as well.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think initially it was just bums on seats, but now it really is about expertise and guidance. We value the opinion of the Godot engineers and Godot product managers just as much as we would any internal opinion.
Yeah. And do you think that's one of the reasons for the success of this partnership is obviously you kind of get to learn from our Godot engineers and vice versa? Would you say that's one of the key things?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think, you know, with the flexibility from you guys working across multiple clients and industries, it's great for them to bring in their expertise from other businesses and other areas into this business as well. So we can take a lot of learnings from the Godot engineers that are coming on board to share their previous experiences, how previous companies have set certain things up. It really helps us shape, kind of, to make sure we're making the right decisions and taking on insights from kind of an outside view as well as an internal view as well, which is really useful.
And I think sometimes people question bringing in third parties like ourselves with how your engineers are going to react and how that's going to be embedded together and work collaboratively. Did you have any challenges with that? And if you did, what did you do to overcome them?
I think we have had challenges in the past, as you do with internal and external resource. And you know, that can come from just the clash of personalities or from the quality of the work being delivered. I'd say on the whole, Godot has always been of a higher quality than other partners that we've worked with. And certainly working with yourself, you've always been more ready to respond to that feedback and to work with us to understand how we remediate that.
Yeah.
I mean, specific challenges, we going through a very difficult time with the mobile app. And I think internally, we were struggling to source that. And we weren't necessarily in a position where we had the understanding of the platform in the way that we would have liked.
Yeah.
Once we had established that with yourselves, we weren't making the progress we want, and we brought new engineers into the process, they were able to give that guidance. And I think that's a really good example of where that partnership, rather than a servant leader approach, enabled us to sort of move that into the next phase. And now we've got a really successful mobile app that, you know, is testament to the impact of that relationship with Godot.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to, you know, account management from yourself and delivery management from Dennis as well. Like, you know, we've got a real strong communication where, I mean, this is a very rare case, but if anything significant comes up, what happens, it's dealt with within the hour, I would say. You know, any of the things that have come up for us, we've got a resolution in place. We're quickly to react, jump on the calls, and all the steps are then in place for us to resolve whatever that issue was. So I think that's down to, you know, yourself and Dennis always being there to answer our calls if we need anything.
Yeah.
And from the team as well, you know, they're very reactive to change and also embedded in our strategy and aligned with what we're doing. So they're as much part of the read team as, you know, the internal guys. We see it as one team rather than here's the Godot engineers, here's the read engineers. They're all part of the same team, essentially.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the credit has to go to you to that as well. I think you've really helped foster that relationship and to grow that between yourself, Laura, and Dennis.
Yeah, I think you're a key role to make this partnership work, and it's that collaboration and real-time feedback as well. So, not that it's just the Josh show.
Josh is always
And maybe just moving away from the actual collaboration, the partnership, obviously, you know, I know that our engineers love working with Reed because of the different projects they're working on. You know, there's such variety. And so I suppose it would be quite good to maybe learn a little bit about what projects you are working on and, the success of them as well.
Yeah, I can talk about the performance initiative because that's obviously something that I've been working on since I've joined, and that's always been a mixed team of Godel and Read engineers.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we had no engineers to start with. What we wanted to do, how we wanted to proceed, and then we took the decision to build our own performance platform internally.
Yeah.
And with that, obviously, we needed some technical support to do so. So we had some support in the business that we needed, but obviously we wanted to expand that team as we knew it's going to be a big opportunity and a big job for us to do. You know, it wasn't going to be an overnight build. It was going to take some time. So that's obviously when we got in touch with you guys to grow the partnership in that area and bring on these engineers. And it's probably been one of our kind of best success stories that we've had over the past few years to that team, you know.
Yeah.
They really embedded together really well. There was no sense of like, you know, we're doing this, you're doing this. Mm-hmm. It was a fully embedded team from the beginning.
Yeah.
They understood what they need to do and understood their roles. And then was able to build a new platform, which is now the pay for performance platform. And this is one of the elements of the business. We're really scaling up now over this year and next year. And hopefully it will be for the foreseeable future, which is a new way for customers to interact with Read as a business, as they pay on the applications that they get delivered rather than a fixed cost up front.
Mm-hmm.
So this platform enables them to do that. And we've got, you know, loads of other pieces for that initiative to continue to scale up over the year. But yeah, that's been down to a great partnership from the Godel team and the Read team. And it obviously continued to do so as well.
Yeah,
I think what I've been most pleased to see with that is not only the team really invested in the roadmap and you know, delivering on time, which Josh is here to nag at them about and make sure that they're doing, they are just really invested in the commercial success of the platform as well.
Yeah.
Like every time Tonya, my product manager, they know we've got a new client or, you know, we've done this month amount of revenue this month, they're really excited to see that, to see the fruits of their labours. I'm really confident as well that with the challenges we've got and the problem statements that are coming out that we're presented to them for the rest of the year, that they are fully behind delivering that. They can see the route to success of that platform. And that's across the board. I mean, when I first joined Read, it was with the shared services team, which was exclusively a Godel-based team, but they're massively important for the success of all the other engineering teams. Supporting the shared services, they're supporting the platforms, and they're bringing forward things like our authentication service, the location service, and MedBrace, the messaging tool, just enables us to operate and to keep the lights on and to run business as usual. The team are just so massively committed to that. And I think they just get the remit of that group of functionality and features that we want to run and how important it is to the business. And they become subject matter experts in that. Whenever there's an issue over the weekend, however late at night it is, they're just there to jump and to give their feedback. So, yeah, it's been amazing to see how invested they are in Read as a business and the success of the company.
Yeah. And you see that, you know, when people just naturally move on, like it's a big loss to us as a business. Like we've lost a huge amount of skill sets, which you guys have obviously replaced.
But,
you know, when someone has been working in the business for a long period of time, they've got so much knowledge on how everything's working, our architecture, our setup. Like it's a huge loss for us when you know, someone decides to move on as well. So, want to try to keep everyone for a slot.
Absolutely. And I suppose obviously moving into 2024, I can't believe we're nearly there. But I, you know, is there any kind of exciting projects that you've got coming up that you're quite excited to see be developed and hopefully released by the end of the year? Is there anything you can discuss and delve into there?
Yeah, I think we can loop back to the performance piece because as I said, we're scaling up the platform at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
The team are building new and exciting features. So the ability for customers to ingest jobs at bulk. So rather than doing it manually one by one, they can ingest, you know, thousands of jobs into a feed.
Yeah.
Probably save the team a lot of time in adding the jobs in, and same for the customer as well. We're also looking to put our solution on e-commerce as well. So it'd be an e-commerce product as well as, you know, an account managed service. So this is one of our, I guess, the next big exciting thing for this team is to make this an e-commerce proposition rather than just, you know, having to go through a sales member and account managed team. That's what I'd say would be the big thing for that team coming up.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think from a job seeker perspective, we've got a fantastic AI team.
Yeah.
At Read, they're doing some really good things with giving more relevant and suitable recommendations to candidates. what's really important for me is then how do we bring that to market for those users? And so our JobSeeker web and app teams are going to be spending the rest of the year making sure that those get into users' hands, that we have recommendations, like enabling them to see the jobs and the content that they want to see as soon as they open up the app in the morning. From a website point of view, we're going to be looking to increase applications. We're going to be looking to increase the relevancy of those applications.
Yeah.
So it's really important that we're focusing on that over the second half of the year, and we're driving those numbers and that quality in the right direction.
And everyone's talking about AI at the moment, aren't they?
AI is prevalent within the industry at the moment. I think a lot of people are unsure of what it's going to do for recruitment right now. It's clearly an opportunity as much as it is a risk for some people. So I think there's some trepidation there. We need to make sure that we can hold our users' hands and our customers' hands and navigate it towards the right solution for them.
Brilliant. And I know you've won a couple of awards recently as well. I know we have our partnership, but not just us. You guys have obviously won some recently. So it's just great that you're being recognised in the industry. Obviously, I think, you know, for the listeners and myself, you're like, read.go.uk, it's a recruitment company. And actually, there's so much behind that in technology and engineering. So it's quite amazing that you're getting, recognised and actually winning awards as well, not just turning up to them. Did you recently win, is it the DevOps?
DevOps and Architecture Award, which we won in October.
Yeah.
We won the award for the mobile app with the Gmail team in June, July, sometime.
Try to get an invite to do it then. But.
Yeah, that is a VIP list. Maybe next time, guys.
And I certainly like to think that our performance proposition will start to get some recognition now we're getting that into user hands and scaling that out to a wider audience next year. So yeah, have some big ambitions for that in 2024.
Brilliant. I suppose, and also what I'm quite keen to delve into is obviously working with you guys, you've got delivery, you've got product, you've got engineering. Like a lot of companies, there's a lot of spinning plates, isn't there? And it's the key to success is trying to bring that together. And I suppose this may be more for you, Josh, as you are in the delivery space. But obviously, I'm sure you agree your role is absolutely vital for that. But I suppose it's be quite interesting to kind of hear how you do bring it all together and maybe, you know, offer a bit of advice to our listeners as well.
Well, I'd have to agree more on twice what I've
Also, I don't know how this is becoming the, we are just,
Exactly. I think, you know, when we're setting up these initiative projects, programs, or, you know, whatever we want to call them, at the start, our role is to bring everyone together, you know, understand from the beginning what it is we're trying to do, why we're trying to do it, what actions or objectives we're looking to drive out of those to be a success for the business. Without that and people not being on the same journey, that's when things start to get a bit all over the place. People start working in silos, people are getting distracted with other things. So having that, the beginning, setting the scene and bringing everyone on the same journey is crucial for us to make sure the projects are successfully delivered, as well as aligning to our like program delivery framework that we've got in place as a business, which has been around probably since I've joined now for the first few years. And then most recently, probably in the last 6 to 7 months, we've now implemented a fully product development lifecycle as well, which Tom has worked closely on with Sam and a few other members across the business, and got that involvement from engineering, architecture, the agile team coaches, the product managers, just so everyone is aligned on what that process is. Because I think without having clear understanding of what it is, why it's in place, why we're doing it, people then kind of just want to do their own thing. So ensuring that we've got, you know, key documentation in place for everything, everything's aligned and feeding up into the same strategy rather than everyone working on their own individual ones. Having that in place is, I guess, critical for the success.
And I suppose that's probably more to you. Obviously, you're now Director of Technology, and your role obviously is bringing products and engineering together. And I know a lot of people, what is the magic recipe for that? I'm sure we've obviously, there's been a roller coaster of a journey, and not just here, but for many companies, and people are still struggling with that. But yeah, what's your advice or and plan for that really? And yeah, if you have had any challenges, how you've overcome that really?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. I mean, you know, naturally, your products, engineering, design, delivery, they're almost like these magnets that are pushing each other away. But we are, Josh touched on the PDLC, I think probably the best thing that we've done this year is to implement the product development lifecycle. I think it gives us a central point of focus and a framework through which anybody in the business can start to submit ideas, and it's really enabling the business to bring stuff forward that they see as an opportunity rather than perhaps products or engineering being this closed shop. I think it's also helping us to avoid mistakes and to make decisions based on priority and to engage the whole SLT and the rest of the business in understanding that decision. For me, delivery is quite often misunderstood and people see it as
this
team that's interfering when actually they're just there to enable us to make sure that we're being aware of our risks and issues and working to mitigate those. So for me, really, it's about that collaboration. It's about bringing people in to understand that delivery are there to be our friends, so they're there to support us. They're there to make sure that we're asking ourselves the right questions, and if there are issues, they're there to help us resolve those issues. So I'll be very much looking towards the engineering team, as I have with the product team since I have been director of that department, to just make sure that they're working with the delivery managers and involving them in what they're doing, calling them out for support when they need them. And the engineering team are really open to that. The PDLC will be the process through which we do that. Really nice process to make sure that we're bringing stuff in and working through things accordingly together.
Yeah, and in regards to you kind of, do you have a lot of like, in regards to kind of monthly meetups or, you know, how you actually show that visibility? Because, yeah, I mean, I hate being cheesy, but it is just saying what it is, one team, one goal, isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to share that, but how do you do,
I think, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all answer, I think, but we're certainly for the initiatives that I have, they're both run pretty differently, and that's due to the teams, you know, and it all comes down to how the team want this. How do they want to be managed? What meetings do they want in place? How often do they feel that we should be meeting? You know, that's part of the collaboration when we're setting things up at the beginning, is to get alignment. It's not a dictatorship in terms of like, this is how we're going to do it, everyone follow suit. It's like, you know, what do we all think is going to work together? Because like it or not, we're going to have to work together now over however long this project's all going. We should try and get on together.
It's often the side with Josh ends up.
I'm not this guy again.
Here he is.
So, I think, you know, setting that with the team and understanding what their needs are and being open to change it. Because, you know, what might work for the first few months, you might need to meet, you know, every day, you know, and make sure everyone understands what they're doing. And then obviously, as the projects or programs that go in, you can then start to, you know, take a bit of a step back because everyone is aligned to what they're doing. That's cemented in. And then it's just checking in, making sure that everyone's, you know, doing what they need to be doing. If they have any significant, you know, raid items or risks, issues, you know, assumptions, dependencies, it's about picking those up early and being proactive rather than reactive. So, you know, the team have that open space that they can, you know, raise things if something is going wrong. I'd be a lot more comfortable to know way before it's going to happen than, don't worry about that. Just tell me if there is a problem. Because then at least it's on my radar and I can communicate with Tom and the rest of the SLT just so they're aware, you know, no one likes a surprise.
That's true.
And that's the key thing, you know, making sure that everyone is on the same page at all times, at all levels as well when it comes to the initiatives. Because I've gone on a few SLT sessions where I've just said, oh, this is happening. And, you know, everyone's like, what's going on here? Whereas, you know, we need to make sure that we're constantly communicating and having that right balance, because you don't want to over communicate. But we've got our strategy check-ins, which are once a period, and we send updates to SLT every 2 weeks. So that's been it's a bit of a balancing act over the past few years, and understand what's the right level of information, how much information do they need, what are the key bits. So I feel like we've got a good balance now of communications, not just within the team, but outside the teams.
With the right information as well, because our director of delivery will always attack me for having product fluff, but that's what product managers
do. We're
there to make things right, so it's not quite as bad as the marketing team, but you will find that we try and blur the lines, whereas I think the sessions now are much more targeted and focused on, here are the things that are blocking us. And this is where we really need your help, SLT. Do we need to come back this afternoon in your deep dive session to get into this subject matter, or can you help us move things forward? So it's about meeting those deadlines and those dates and those targets that we're committed to, rather than necessarily just, here's some nice stuff that we've done and doesn't actually mean much.
Because I think some companies don't have a delivery division, and sometimes there's a debate in itself, isn't it, of why and when's that needed. But I suppose introducing that into this organisation has obviously shown such a positive success, and it's it's good to hear that and the examples as well for people to kind of take away, because it's probably not always been plain sailing, it won't always be, but it's trying to link it all together, isn't it? So
yeah, and I think to Tom's point, and it's not happened here, but you know, sometimes when you go in as a delivery manager, people sometimes think that we're taken over from what we're trying to do. And
yeah,
as I mentioned, it's not the case. It's to be there for the team and make sure that, you know, any areas they need support on, or
just
to link someone in with this person to have this conversation. You know, we're there to be there for everyone, not just to deliver something for ourselves.
Yeah. And I'm kind of going a little bit off topic here, because I'm talking about this a lot at the moment, about remote working and being in the office. And I think it just links in with communication here. We live in a different world now, post-COVID. There's a lot of remote working, and we have working from home policies, which again has its benefits and has its negatives. But I suppose, how have you as an organisation kind of kept that communication up and aligned? Or is it still a bit of a struggle at the moment? Or
it's a very good question.
Yeah, sorry.
And it's a very political question.
Yeah.
Obviously, a number of companies are going back to the office
more
than they were. I think certainly I'm noticing the train's been more busy. On my part, I like being in 5 days a week anyway. I have been since early 2021.
You're always here.
Get back in. But yeah, I think there's no replacement for face-to-face conversation. I think it is hugely important, even if it's just those incidental chats where you can gather around something and, you know, talk something over. But in terms of remote work, I've always been used to that. I think Godot have always been really flexible in their hours of working to make sure they can accommodate meetings within our business hours, and they've always been present, having their cameras on, being engaged in the conversation. So whilst it's not ideal, it's never really a blocker to getting stuff done and being really effective. And I think the performance platform, as Josh was saying, is evident of that. There's been very few people who are actually on site throughout that entire delivery, and yet it's one of our most successful products of the last 5 or 10 years, I would say, in terms of getting something to market and now starting to see it take off this year.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you've got to be a bit pragmatic for these things, right? Like, at the end of the day, there's people all over different locations, even in the UK now.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people have spread across the country
to
you know, the hybrid working and stuff. So I think for the meetings that you want to set in person, you set in person. But again, obviously working with you guys, people aren't even based in the UK.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be an element of it here of like virtual sessions, virtual meetings, because as much as we'd love to get all of the team into the room for these sessions all the time, it's probably not realistic to do that. So we've always got to have it a bit in the back of our minds. It's always going to be this element, but yeah, things will change. But I think it's working at the moment.
And I think a lot of companies are going through that at the moment, aren't they, of remote working from home and kind of bringing that all together. But yeah, I think when you turn your camera on, it always does make such a
difference. Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Especially when everyone's speaking and everyone's got their cameras off.
Yeah, I know. You're like, am I talking to myself? Which sometimes,
This is why we promote, you know, cameras on at all times. Get in the room, be engaged, like ask questions.
Yeah.
And that's some of the feedback, you know, we've worked on yourself and Dennis with, you know, the team, make sure they feel like they're comfortable to ask questions. And that's something that we've obviously put in place now. And feel like, you know, all of the team get involved and ask questions whenever, then they don't take a step back and think, oh, don't feel like I can ask anything.
Yeah.
So having that environment with cameras on, you know, open conversations definitely helps.
Yeah. Brilliant. So just moving on, I suppose, about how we have been in partnership now for 6 years, which I know we rewarded you with donuts, which is what you get for your 6 year. And Jenga. Yeah, that's another. So yeah, I think you guys are the best people I've ever played Jenga with ever, but you take about 45 minutes to complete a game.
Loads of engineers.
Yeah, exactly. I've definitely learned that. So yeah. What do you think? You know, and I'm saying it's successful, I suppose it's more like long term. We've obviously been through ups and downs like any partnership or any company. But I suppose one for you, Tom, is, you know, what do you think the key to the success has been?
I think for me, it has just been that partnership and that commitment to the partnership. There's never really been an occasion where we've had an incident and you guys have gone hiding. They're happy to be the subject matter experts and things. And I think that just comes from the leadership within Godot, and you know, I think that just filters down throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
We were talking about the we were talking about the culture sessions beforehand. I think that's a really good example of where, you know, we want to understand how to work with these engineers, and to Josh's point about the ways of working.
Yeah.
What can we do to accommodate you as much as you've been willing to accommodate us? So it really has been a partnership of equals.
Yeah.
And I think working closely with yourself and Dennis, you know, and we both was new to the partnership when I joined and then you come on board just before, I think.
Yes.
Was to work out, you know, what are our ways of working that we want to work together on? How often do we need to communicate? What are the channels that we need to be, you know, discussing topics and things on? And the onboarding process, I think that was key, you know, making sure that when a new Goda member comes on board, what are all the things that they need to, you know, be set up on?
Yeah.
Like how, even, you know, things that, how long before do we notify the team that there's a new person coming on? So, you know, working through all of that process, I think we've now got it kind of down to a T where everyone understands our full onboarding journey,
yeah,
what they need to do, you know, how the first week will look,
yeah,
who they need to speak to in the first week.
Mm-hmm.
So I think working together in that way, it's really helped shape the partnership for success, because now there's, again, there's no surprises of this person just crops up and everyone on the team. Like,
which
there's a new person that's asking to join this meeting, but I didn't even know they started.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, we're definitely more joined up.
To taking a step back as we did and looking at, okay, so what are the things that we can do to work on that?
Yeah.
And obviously Dennis has been a great help with that as well, and working with the engineers on a one-to-one basis to, you know, and understand, you know, honest feedback from them as well.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want them to be a one-way street where we give you guys feedback and get nothing back from or the team.
Yeah.
They need to be voicing any of their concerns, their opinions, or if they think something could be run better, then, you know, to raise that.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't feel comfortable, you know, going straight to someone who can read, they've got yourself and Dennis to go down that route to it. And then we address that, and then, you know, go to whoever we need to go to in our business to squash that and resolve it.
Yeah.
I think we've had those friendships as well, though. We've had engineers that have gone out holidays and weekends just to visit your team.
I know.
For no reason.
I'm so left out when that happens. You see photos, you're like, why don't we go now?
It's great. I did not get an invite for. It's like, what?
That's great, because and I think always our guides feel you've got this culture that shines out quite quickly when they are being onboarded, and they can kind of feel like that team, and I think sometimes they feel part of Reed more than they do the Goda, which is the way it should be, really. So but we definitely need to try and get invited to one of these.
We'll meet somewhere coming out to Warsaw.
We need to find out a bit. I think we are asking this to a lot of our podcast guests, but if you could describe partnership or Goda in three words, and you can be as honest as you'd like to be, how would you? And we'll start with you, Josh.
Three words. I'd say flexible, of course, collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
And successful, because, you know, we've done a lot of successful things over the years, and hopefully we'll continue to do so.
Yeah. Tom?
Innovative. I think your teams have always tried to find new, different ways of solving problems and to come at things from a different angle, and always welcome those opinions. Yeah, collaborative, that partnership, that whole feeling of this is one team.
I think we have the same one.
Yeah, and I think probably for me, it's just committed.
I've
touched on it a few times, but just I do really feel like the Goda guys are committed to the success of the business and willing to do what they can to invest in that and to bring it forward together.
Brilliant. What very positive words. That's great.
Yeah, there's very few negative words.
So. I know. Might be slightly different. And then I don't know, this is both your first podcast. Would you do this again? Is this your newfound career?
We'll have to see.
Exactly.
It's a topic going to be.
we'll work that out. But as we're obviously the first videoed one as well. It's been great. Thank you both so much for coming on today. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
huge thank you to all the listeners out there who've listened to this instalment of the Godel Pod. If you like what you hear and would like to know when we're releasing even more episodes, please just subscribe to the Godel page on Podbean or Spotify.